prayer this morning. Lord, may this be desire of our hearts to live to bring you praise. For you are God, worthy of all worship. You, God, creator of all things, Lord over all creation, deserve the worship, the honor, and glory. None can compare to you, O God. We thank you, O Lord, that though you are high above all things, you are still at the same time a God who is near to us, the Heavenly Father, Abba Father, who desires relationship with creation, with humankind. Thank you, O Lord, for this love you have for us. Would you slowly but surely help our lives day by day to live in light of this love, to love you back, and to love those around us. Lord, we pray for just this summer. We thank you, Lord, that summer can be a time of rest and rejuvenation. But Lord, we pray for those who are during the summer back with their families, which could be a source of stress, source of strife. Lord, we pray just for peace in these households during these summer months, that reconciliation can be found, that peace can be found in these households. We pray also, Lord, for all the short-term missions teams that have been sent and are going to be sent out, are going out this summer. We thank you, Lord, for the past 2 weeks, for the CYCU team and the work that you have done in and through them. Lord, we look forward to hear all the great things, all the wonderful things that you have done in helping people, helping students in Taiwan to see and believe more and more about who Jesus is and how you are doing a transformative work in the students there, but also in our own brothers and sisters, the team members, oh God. We pray, Lord, for the Japan team as they set out this upcoming week. Lord, we pray for safe travels. We pray for smooth travels as they go. And that, Lord, that you would be going before them, that your spirit may empower them as they go to proclaim your truth, and that you would keep any attack from the evil one or any of these obstacles away from them, so that your gospel, your truth, your glory would be known, would be shown without any hindrance, oh God. We pray, Lord, that this morning that you would be with each one of us, that regardless of whatever morning or week that we've had, Lord, we lay it down before you, oh God, and ask that you would open our hearts, our ears, our minds to be receptive to your truth. Lord, be with your servant this morning, for he is weak and in desperate need of your power. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would use all these things as vehicle to illuminate your truth to each one of us, O God. Transform us, O Lord. Transform us to become more and more like Jesus. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading comes from Psalm 23. And this morning, I actually invite you to read this with me, since it's a familiar psalm. We're going to be reading this morning Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Good morning again. Welcome to our English service this morning. My name is Andrew. I am one of the interns here at RCCC for the EC. I'm so glad you're able to join us for our worship this morning, whether in person or online as well. And I hope that you had a good Independence Day break. Hopefully you got a few days off from work. I know students, you're off school whether it be with fireworks, friends, food, whatever. Hopefully you had a good time. Today, we are continuing our summer sermon series in Psalms. Last week, Pastor James kicked us off with Psalm chapter 1. And today, as we just read, we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 23. Of course, during the summer, we're not going to go through all the Psalms. There's just not enough weeks to go through all 150 Psalms. But I believe we'll still get a decent exposure to a nice variety of Psalms throughout this summer. Now, Psalm 23 is a super familiar psalm. Even outside the church, people know this psalm. As a child growing up in the church, this is one of the first psalms that they make you memorize for like some prize or whatever. And I'm sure that many of us in this chapel have either part of the psalm or some version of the psalm committed to memory. But it is precisely because it's so familiar that I wanted to take time to look at it this morning. Because with so many things in the Bible, with so many things in our faith, we're always in danger of what they call the lullaby effect. The lullaby effect, where we're so familiar with something that we think we fully understand it. We no longer think that we need to take a deep look at this idea or this passage. We think we've basically conquered it. And over time, what ends up happening is that our understanding of that passage begins to morph and can sometimes lead us in a direction that maybe that wasn't what the passage was saying, or maybe that's not actually what the truth actually means. Maybe it's not actually in Scripture. So I want to challenge us this morning to do our best to look at this passage with fresh eyes. And by doing so, I'm sure that we will all either encounter or re-encounter some transformative truth from God. Psalm 23. So just some background about this psalm. This is a psalm of David. And David is one of the major characters in the Old Testament. David is probably very known to be King David. He was one of the early kings of Israel who had good things and bad things about him. You're more than happy to read about his story. His life, he gets a lot of books in the Bible and chapters dedicated just to his life. But before David was King David, David was a lowly shepherd. He was a shepherd. And here in this psalm, David is referring back and thinking back to his experience when he was a kid, when he was younger, as a shepherd. The imagery that he uses for majority of the psalm is about shepherding. So when we read this passage as 2023 people living in New Jersey, my question for us is, when was the last time you saw a shepherd? When was the last time you saw a shepherd? I've basically grown up in New Jersey. I was only away from New Jersey for 4 years for college, and I don't think I've ever seen a shepherd in New Jersey. Okay, and I grew up in White House Station, so like if you go to Bridgewater, go further west, and I had friends in college joke and thought that I lived on a farm there. Okay, there is more land there, but I never saw a shepherd. Okay, I saw a buffalo farm, but no herds of sheep. And because we maybe have never encountered a shepherd, what kind of image comes to our mind when we read this passage? When you think of shepherds and sheep, what kind of image comes to mind? And like, where do those images come from? I would argue that a common image that comes to mind, maybe something like this, if you look on the screen, okay? Luscious green hills, sheep freely roaming and moving around with plenty of food to eat and grass to enjoy. You can look at this photo and maybe even hear the birds. You can probably hear the sheep baaing. It's a very, very peaceful, very, very calm scenery. This kind of image, definitely picture and art worthy. That's probably why it was on Google. And this kind of picture is kind of what we get from movies and TV shows. It's a very, very attractive image. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely areas like this with sheep, but they're probably more found in like Western Europe. Western Europe. It's probably in Western Europe you'll find a picture like this with shepherds. What if I told you this is actually more of what we see in Israel? This is brown and ugly and much less attractive for anyone, I would say. It's not full of rolling hills, not full of grass. It's very, very hilly, and there are definitely predators that are roaming around in these dry, rocky hills. This is an image of Israel. Obviously, modern day, you can see in the very background, there's like a more modern city, right? So to this day, it's still like this in areas of Israel. So this is the image of a shepherd in Israel. How does that affect the way that we approach Psalm 23? Because arguably, this is what David has in mind when he is writing this psalm. This difference completely thwarts our expectations and shifts our perspective. How? The picturesque green fields from before, when we look at that, it gives us a sense of ease, a sense of abundance. The shepherd just brings the sheep to this like large field of grass, and the sheep can like lay down anywhere comfortably. They have easy access to food, easy access to water, easy access to everything that they could ever want and need. Just lie down on the grass, lie down in the pasture. No danger in sight. Just hang out, graze, and cruise through life. No big deal. And isn't that such an attractive idea for Christians? For life to be so smooth? Wouldn't we love life to be so simple and comfortable? That if following Jesus meant easy access to water, to grass, with no real difficulties in life, wouldn't everyone just want to be Christian? But if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you know that life isn't so easy. That Christianity never promises a life that is void of suffering and hardship. So what changes when with this more real brown pasture? What changes then? If you look closely at the picture, right, you see that there are like little tufts, even in the foreground here, tufts of like little green. Clearly the sheep there are eating something. Clearly they're eating something. And even though it's like very hilly and parts of it are very, very dry, there are still locations where there's grass to eat and water to drink. But the thing is, the sheep don't know where these places are. The sheep don't know where the places are to eat and to drink water. So that means when we read this psalm, the focus is no longer on the abundance of food and water for the people or for the sheep, but now the focus is on the shepherd. Because if you think about it, right, the sheep are, if they're just hanging out on like the previous image with the rolling hills, rolling green hills, if they're just hanging out there all the time with no cares in the world, do they really need a shepherd? Do they really need a shepherd? They're safe. They have food. You can just leave them there. You don't even need to spend time with them. They don't really need a shepherd. But the reality is that shepherds during this time, and even today, shepherds are needed to lead the sheep to these places for food and water. The shepherd needs to lead them because the shepherd is the one who knows where to go in order to provide the sheep with sustenance. not only that, but the focus on the shepherd also makes sense in this psalm when we go further on in verse 4. Right, verse 4 talks about the rod and the staff. Rod and the staff. And there are some debates whether like these are like two different things or just one tool. But regardless, rod and staff, they're tools used by the shepherd. And these tools are used to, one, herd the sheep and make sure they go in the right direction. But the other reason is to fend off predators. Fend off predators. In this picture, there are going to be like these sort of mountain lions and other predators that will want to eat your sheep. As a shepherd, part of your job is to protect the sheep from the dangers that roam in this wilderness. That's part of your job. You don't want your sheep to be eaten. That's one less sheep. And each sheep is very, very important to the shepherd. Part of your job is to defend your flock. And, you know, if we're familiar with King David's story, this definitely makes sense, right? Because if King David was sitting on a green hill with his sheep all day, probably just taking a nap, watching his sheep just eat day after day, when he encounters Goliath, he probably doesn't know what to do. He probably doesn't know what to do. When we read the story of David and Goliath, part of the reason why he can fight is because he has experience defending his sheep from predators of all sorts as a shepherd. The life of a shepherd just isn't as, you know, as glamorous as we might imagine, especially in Israel. It was hard. It was rough work in a very, very tough environment. The shepherd. Now, with all this talk about the shepherd, naturally we have to talk about the sheep too, the sheep. And I've kind of been alluding to the fact that the sheep, they really, really need the shepherd. They really, really need the shepherd. Sheep are extremely vulnerable creatures. Extremely vulnerable creatures. They can easily get lost, and they have no good means of defending themselves. And you can imagine in this picture, during this, they're out there by themselves, they are dead meat. They are dead meat. Sheep cannot help themselves in so many ways. And I think it's very interesting because David, essentially, as a professional shepherd, or previously professional shepherd, he understood all these aspects of shepherding. So as he's reflecting on his own relationship with God, he's able to conclude that, you know, the Lord is his shepherd, and therefore he is the sheep. That there's this relationship there to this sheep-shepherd relationship. David himself sees himself as this lowly sheep that is in desperate need and dependence on the shepherd. And it's not too far to stretch the reality that to realize that we are also in the same relationship with the Lord. The Lord is also our shepherd, and we also are in need of the shepherd as lowly, weak sheep. But that may not be something that we like to hear. Being compared to a weak sheep doesn't seem like a good thing. The idea of needing to be dependent on anyone is not appealing. Depending on anything it's counter to our teachings of being like staunchly individual and independent. We're taught to be strong, to be self-sufficient. The self-made man is a very high virtue in this country. No one wants to feel weak. No one wants to feel powerless or inferior. No one wants to feel lower than someone else. But the reality is that you and I, as human beings, we have limitations. Like sheep, there are threats around us that we cannot fully deal with. There are so many things that are out of our control. And we'd be foolish to think that we could somehow control and control every single aspect of our lives. Might I remind you, that's what happened 3 years ago that turned everything upside down, completely out of our control. We definitely had no control over that. So many of our future outcomes are out of control. When you're trying to wait for a college response, for a job, when you're waiting for something in the future to happen, this unknown gives us this sense of powerlessness because we cannot control it. And if you need a reminder of what it feels like to be not in control, I invite you to come over to my house and try putting an infant to sleep on a bad day, because that has been a very humbling thing for me. I'm grossly not in control at 2 a.m. in the morning. As much as humanity, as much as we will want to try to control all aspects of our lives, we will always have our limitations. We are the weak sheep. And because we are the weak sheep, we need the shepherd. We need the shepherd. We need the shepherd that will bring us to the pastures for food and water. We need a shepherd that will protect us when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. We need the shepherd who will bring comfort and lead us. Because left to our own devices, we are completely lost. We will wander off on our own, away from the safety of the shepherd, away from what's good for us. We will wander away from the path of righteousness, as the passage says, and that the shepherd wants us to follow. You know, and as we look at our lives, this we can see this happening in our lives. Because our default posture as human beings, as this sheep, our default posture is contrary, is against what God wants, is against righteousness. We want things to go our way. We want things to convenience us. We want to dictate how our lives should be. Surely, I know better than the shepherd. I know better than the shepherd. Isaiah in chapter 53 uses the same imagery. He says that we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There is this realization that we as humans need the shepherd to save us, to bring us back. Because we are prone to wander, prone to do things that are against the shepherd, prone to do things our own way. And, you know, thankfully, for our benefit, in 2023, we have the benefit of seeing more of the big picture than both David and Isaiah. If you ever read the life of Jesus in the Gospels, in John 10, Jesus is very explicit, saying that he is the good shepherd. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, our wandering as sheep, our insisting in our own way, that's not an accidental thing. That is not an accidental thing. It is an act of rebellion against the shepherd. We, in our wandering and rebellion, don't deserve to be in the flock. We deserve to be outcasted in our disobedience. But Jesus, the good shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life on the cross, chooses to be outcast so that his sheep, so that we don't need to be outcasted or punished, that as a shepherd, he takes on the role as a sacrificial lamb on our behalf. The shepherd humbles himself in this way, humbles himself to love his sheep, to provide for his sheep in their deepest need, in their deepest weakness. This is the love of the good shepherd for each one of us. And if you this morning are either exploring Christianity or maybe first time at our church, you know, the good shepherd is inviting you to join him. Humans, we are rebellious sheep. We are wanting to always do things our way. We think that we know best. But Christ takes on our punishment on himself so that we can be welcomed back into the fold from our wandering. Would you consider this Good Shepherd this morning? For those who claim to be Christian, the good news doesn't stop there. The good news doesn't stop there because the resurrected Good Shepherd is active in our lives today. And if we look at this, at Psalm 23 again, the second part of Psalm 23 takes a small departure away from the whole shepherd sheep mindset. It talks about how the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It tells us how in the midst of danger, the Lord is still seeking to bless each one of us, that we need not fear during that time. Not only is he with us, but he's also blessing us during that time. These are the this is a promise given to us as his people. But not only that, the psalm ends with this future look and future hope that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all days of my life. But not only that, I will be with the Lord forever and ever. That even though we may feel separated at this time, God, the Lord, is bringing us to him and promises that we will dwell with him for all eternity where we belong as his creation. There are these promises that are given to the flock, to his sheep. These promises that you and I, as God's people, can hold on to. This is more good news given to us by our God. As a sheep, we can hold fast to these promises. We can hold fast to these promises. And I hope that when we think about and look and read this psalm, that these promises can bring comfort to us this morning. And I particularly want to highlight, that I pray that it can give us comfort in the midst, especially, of suffering and hardship. That Jesus, our shepherd, cares for his sheep. That in whatever situation we are in, this remains true. This remains true. I heard from a pastor in Philadelphia that he categorized life, the seasons of life, into three buckets. Either you are coming out of suffering, you are preparing to go into suffering, or you are in suffering. You're either coming out of suffering, you're getting ready to enter suffering, or you are in suffering. And this is a very sobering, like, real look at life. Because again, we're never promised a life absent of suffering. That if you live on this earth long enough, you will suffer. That's the reality of it. That is the reality of it. The brokenness of the world, the brokenness that we have inside of us will automatically lead to suffering of some sort. And maybe not now, but definitely at some point. And I hope that Psalm 23 can be a Jesus way of encouraging us through this life. That whether we're going through hardships at home, at school, at work, whether we're feeling alone, feeling isolated, when we're going through loss or experiencing a physical, mental, emotional struggles and pains of different kinds, we can speak the truth of Psalm 23 into each one of these situations. Not as a silver bullet that will magically make it all go away, but as a reminder for us to seek shelter and to find comfort in the Good Shepherd. That we find ourselves exiting a season of hardship. You know, we can be thankful for the shepherd's deliverance. That the shepherd provided for our needs during the season and continues to provide as we enter to a smoother season. That as we breathe a sigh of relief when we're out of suffering, out of hardship, we can look forward to the promises laid out at the end of Psalm 23, where we'll experience goodness and mercy, and we'll be with the Lord our shepherd forever. If we find ourselves in a season where we're not in suffering, praise God for that. But this is a time where we need to prepare. We need to prepare for the next time that suffering will inevitably come into our lives, whether it be sudden loss or whatever. And it is during this time where we need to embrace the truths of Psalm 23, have them imprinted on our hearts and at the ready for when that time comes. That during this time, Psalm 23 also serves as a reminder for each of us that we are sheep in need of a shepherd. Because so often in smooth times, we think that we're fine. We think that we're self-sufficient, thinking that we're fine on our own. We do not need the shepherd. We don't need Jesus because, you know, there's no hardship right now. But it is in those moments that's particularly dangerous for us, when we begin to think that we're self-sufficient, when we think that we don't need the shepherd. Brothers and sisters, please, let's be mindful of this and ever more intentional to imprint these truths on our hearts during those smooth times. It is during the smooth times where we prepare for when the hardship comes. And of course, if you find yourself in the midst of suffering, if you find yourself right now feeling like you're in the valley, the shepherd is with you. The shepherd has not abandoned you. That we can find comfort in the protection of the shepherd's staff. We can find comfort knowing that we can rest and be blessed even when there's danger around us. That when things feel especially out of control, the shepherd has not abandoned us. When we're in the middle of suffering, it can feel unbelievably lonely. It feels like nobody understands, that nobody can properly empathize. But take heart. The shepherd has not abandoned you. And our Jesus knows what it's like to go through suffering of all sorts when he walked on this earth. He is not so foreign to not understand the human experience. But he can intimately know your experience, intimately know you, intimately walk with you, because he will not abandon you. We do read again in the New Testament when Jesus talks about leaving the 99 sheep for the one. Leaving 99 sheep for the one, that when one wanders, when one is in need, Jesus will go to find it. The good shepherd will go to find it. This is the heart that the shepherd has for you and me. That he went out to not only bring us back into the fold so that we can be part of the family of God again, but it's not as if once we're in the flock that he's like, okay, fine, you're here, all good. The good news continues that when we are in the midst of suffering, he will not abandon us. He's still intimately involved and desires to bring us comfort, desires to deliver us and lead us. Lead us to a place to experience his mercy, experience his goodness, to lead us to his dwelling place where we belong as his precious sheep. This is the good shepherd that we follow. And I hope that as we go through this life, especially if we have Psalm 23 memorized, that we be that much more aware of these realities that are spoken of in the psalm. That the shepherd, we need the shepherd because we are weak. The shepherd doesn't promise this abundant, easy life. But instead, the shepherd is actually telling us that I am here with you in the midst of all things, in the midst of any suffering that you're going through, now and in the future. So would you come and dwell with me, the shepherd, and I will give you rest. I will be with you. You need not worry. This is the promise that we've been given as God's people, as his sheep, as his flock. Would you pray with me? God, would you help us this morning? That with the passage so familiar as Psalm 23, would you help us to not let it just come in one ear and out the other ear? But would you help us, Lord, to dwell on these truths and to allow it to sink deeper into our hearts this morning, oh God? Because yes, we are weak sheep. Yes, you do not promise us that we'll have a smooth, pain-free life. But yes, you are, Jesus, you are the good shepherd that is delivering and with your people now and into all eternity. So I pray, Lord, that whatever situation we find ourselves in this morning, whether we are recently exiting suffering, maybe it's smooth time right now, or maybe we're in suffering, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to embrace the promises and realities of Psalm 23, and that it would be a source of comfort. It would be a source of peace for each one of us this morning, oh God. Remind us of this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shall we all rise together? And